Hello, this is Debbie again with the Decatur Herald and Review for part two, Wednesday, June 24th, 2015. We start again with obituaries, as usual for part two. Decatur, Ralph Franklin Young. This is an obituary posted by the family that just talks about his life. Ralph Franklin Young, 90 years old, passed away on May 23, 2015 after a brief illness. Next obituary, Bradley D. Petrick. Decatur. Bradley D. Petrick, 28, of Oriana, Illinois, passed away on Sunday, June 21, 2015, from injuries sustained in an accident. A service to celebrate Bradley's life will be held at 10 o'clock a.m. Thursday, June 25, 2015, at Dawson and Wyckoff Funeral Home, Mount Zion, with Reverend Adam Strausser officiating. The family will receive friends Wednesday evening from 5 p.m. till 8 p.m. at the funeral home. Burial will be in Point Pleasant Cemetery, Long Creek. All right, Long Creek. In lieu of flowers, the family suggests memorials be given to the Bradley Petrick Memorial Fund, care of Land of Lincoln Credit Union, for the benefit of Bradley's children's education. End of obituary. Oakley, Gary L. Shoemaker. Gary L. Shoemaker, 76, of Oakley, passed away Sunday, June 21, 2015, at Decatur Memorial Hospital. Graveside services to celebrate Gary's life will be at 11 a.m. Saturday, June 27, 2015, at Arthur Cemetery in Arthur. Memorials are suggested to the Kim Shoemaker Memorial Scholarship Fund in care of the State Bank of Cerro Gordo. The family of Gary L. Shoemaker is being served by Moran and Goebel Funeral Home and Cremation Services on Monroe Street in Decatur. Decatur. Roosevelt Harris, Jr., 62, Decatur, retired mechanic, died June 5, 2015. Memorial services, 5:30 p.m. Friday, Main Street Church of the Living God. Arrangements, Walker Funeral Service in Chapel. Argenta, Betty Jane Plock. Betty Jane Facino Plock, 77, of Argenta, Illinois, passed away on June 21, 2015, with her loving family by her side at her residence. Funeral services will be at 10 a.m. Wednesday, June 24th. Okay, they were this morning at Garver Brick Service in Decatur with Pastor Don Long, Sr. Then the burial will follow at Friends Creek today. Visitation will be from 5 to 7. Was it 5 to 7 yesterday? In lieu of flowers, memorials may be directed to the Humane Society of Decatur in Macon County. A small hand, Piatt County, infant needs and diapers, or care van helps. That was the end of the obituaries. Under local business, Gmail adds undo send button to cure your email anxiety. Gmail is formalizing a solution to your email nightmares, the undo send button. Another short little notice here. Stu Ellis. Farmers find it harder to break even. This is by Stu Ellis for Herald and Review. If some farmers really knew how much it costs to produce a crop and what their break-even point was for selling corn and soybeans, many of them would think it might be more profitable to rent their farmland and let someone else go broke. While that assessment will generate more complaints than commendations, it may be one of the realities in today's agriculture that manifests itself in good and bad ways. Let's begin with the financial analysis that was released last week by economists at Farm Business. Farm Management. Let's begin with the financial analysis that was released last week by economists at Farm Business Farm Management, who consult with nearly 10% of the commercial farmers in Illinois and maintain a phenomenally detailed database of farm expenses and financial details. The FBFM determined that on highly productive central Illinois farmland, it costs $1,002 to produce an acre of corn, and if it was sold for less than $5.51 per bushel, our farmer lost money on it. In the case of soybeans, the FBFM calculation producing an acre was $7.58, and based on an average yield of 64 bushels per acre, the break-even price was $13.30. It should be said that in both cases, the cost of land was included, and that was $261 for central Illinois, along with $45 in real estate taxes and insurance. That land cost covers net cash rent, a mortgage payment, and an opportunity cost in not renting the land to someone else. Nearly every tax landowner is going to consider the land as free if it is owned outright and there's no mortgage payments. And if they want to think that, let them do that. But deep down, they know otherwise. Along with the land costs are the variable production costs, which were $4.53 for seed, fertilizer, crop protectants, repairs, fuel, and machine hire for corn, and $2.35 per acre for soybeans for the same type of expenses. Soybean production expenses were static from 2014, but dropped 2% from 2013 for corn production. There were also non-land expenses that allowed agriculture to occur, which include labor, buildings, grain storage, machinery, depreciation, interest, and other overhead. These costs were $48 per acre for corn and $45 per acre for soybeans. Ironically, 2014 brought record yields for nearly every farmer in central Illinois. Macon County had the highest corn yield in the nation, and Piatt County had the highest soybean yield in the nation, and they flip-flopped for second place. As would be expected, Illinois led all states in corn and soybean yield, so the 231 bushel average yield for corn and 64 bushel average yield for soybeans would seemingly drop the break-even price to the point that every farmer would make a profit of even low commodity price levels. For those who don't know, these break-even prices of $5.51 for corn and $13.30 for soybeans have not been seen since the drought year of 2012. Today, corn prices are almost $2 under that break-even point, and soybean prices are almost $4 under that break-even point. So how are farmers continuing to farm if they're losing money? Nearly all are depending on the working capital they built up over the past 7 years. It's like the fellow who won the lottery and told the interviewer he was going to continue farming until it was all gone. This winter will bring some farm families to the realization that family finances are diminishing, and some will make a decision to rent out the acreage they own and invest their funds in something that might increase their income instead of use it up. Interestingly, it is that type of decision that opens up farmland for young farmers to embark on their career. But the question they face is where do they get financing in such tight economic pinch? End of the article from Stu Ellis, an observer of the Central Illinois ag scene. Pro-business votes earn recognition for Davis, says the headline. This is by Ryan Boyles for the Herald and Review, staff writer, Decatur. Rodney Davis couldn't think of a better place than Archer Daniels Midland Company to accept his national honor. As pictures of soybeans and other crops provided the setting, Davis was recognized Monday morning as the Legislative Excellence Award winner, which is given by the National Association of Manufacturers. It's really humbling to get this award here at ADM, Davis said. For me, it's to be recognized to help grow our manufacturing sector in Central Illinois is really humbling. The award is based on his business-friendly policies during the 113th congressional session. Davis received an 89% approval rating from the association based on his vote for 29 bills. The bills range from repealing the Affordable Care Act to reducing the after-tax cost of investments on small businesses. It'd be like a B-plus in the Taylorville School District, so I got some room to move up, Davis joked when asked about the rating. Among the plans that Davis said he was most proud of was his input on the Water Resources Reform Development Act, which helped to find solutions for upgrading waterways and inland water infrastructure in the county. Such a development can be imported to companies in Decatur, Davis said, especially with the Midwest Inland Port. It's very crucial to ADM's intermodal facility being able to get products into Decatur and then out into the open ocean to sell overseas, he said. Davis also touched on the impact of places like Decatur as the fate of the Trade Promotion Authority remains in congressional limbo. The plan, which Davis approved in the House, allows the president to negotiate international agreements that Congress can approve or disapprove but cannot alter or filibuster. We cannot sell mining trucks that are made in Decatur in this country as much as we can overseas, he said. So if we don't have global trade, we don't have the ability to create those manufacturing jobs here. End of article by Voiles. Headline says, yoga helps kids learn about fitness at Camp Connections. This is by Valerie Wells for the Herald and Review. Decatur, if there's one thing that says superhero, it's strength. We do yoga for our muscles, says Ania White, 6, flexing her biceps. Camp Connections is all about heroes this summer, and though the kids started off with familiar Batman and Superman sort of heroes, they've been learning that heroes come in all shapes and sizes. They can even be heroes themselves. At the Baum School site, yoga is a regular part of the Young Heroes activities. Heroes need to take care of their health, said Counselor Lisa Ferriozzi, and every day includes active play and lessons in healthy nutrition. We already had a busy day, she said with a laugh. They've been to the Y, they've played dodgeball, and in a little while we have PE. Yoga videos are available online at comickids.com, led by Jamie Amore, whose soft voice and lilting British accent are soothing. Behind her, thanks to green screen technology, lives an animated world of stick bugs and caterpillars, rainbows and butterflies, while she tells stories and teaches kids to do yoga poses that go with the actions and the stories. The videos are available for free, and Lamatriona Turner 7, she does them at home, too. Just like it, she said. I think it's fun. Just like it, she said. I think it's fun. The Amores met. The Amores met thanks to Jamie's work teaching yoga to children in England. She's a trained actor who studied at the Bristol Old Vic, and between acting gigs, she entertained at children's parties. She's also a certified yoga instructor, and their website releases a new video every month as well as DVDs for home use. Both kids and adults take part, though the kids do a little more squirming, and adults can't always contort their bodies into positions where, to use one of Jamie Amores' examples on Monday, they can pretend to use their foot as a phone. Though the attempt ended in helpless laughter. Yoga relaxes them and calms them down, Ferriozzi said. End of article. In local news, arrests made an alleged child abduction. Decatur. This is by Ryan Voiles again. A man was arrested Monday in connection with a potential child abduction at Hummingbird and Plover Drives. The suspect, 19, was arrested for allegedly attempting to kidnap an 8-year-old boy from his neighborhood. Police responded to the residence of the boy's father Monday, where the boy told police that the suspect had stopped him as he got off the bus and offered him ice cream. The kid said no, and that later the man said trying to kidnap him. Later stated the man tried to kidnap him. A note from the boy's bus driver obtained by the police also stated a man in a vehicle tried to get the boy in his vehicle after the boy had been dropped off. In a later discussion with the police, the bus driver noted seeing the incident and hearing the boy loudly reject the offer for a ride, and the suspect had made a gesture toward his rear window as if to invite the boy inside the vehicle. As police spoke with the boy, the suspect approached and the boy and his father advised he was the one who tried to get the boy in the vehicle. He's the one who tried to kidnap me, the boy told police. The suspect told police he'd been in the intersection and he knew the boy through his uncle. He told police he was concerned for the boy because he'd seen a man with Down syndrome near his residence, and the suspect did not like the way he looked at people. According to police statement, the suspect told the boy to wait until a man with Down syndrome had walked around the corner before he headed home. He said his gesture toward the rear window was a point toward the subject. The suspect is under supervised release in McLean County for possession of cannabis and is in Macon County Jail on $50,000 bond. I'm going to read that again. The suspect is under supervised release in Macon McLean County for possession of cannabis and currently is in the Macon County Jail on a $50,000 bond. End of that article. The next article, Uncle Arrested After Fight with Nephew, says headline. This is by Tony Reed for the Herald and Review. Decatur. Police allege a row between an uncle and his nephew resulted in an uncle punching the younger man in the face and two gunshots being fired as the men fought over a handgun in the uncle's Decatur home. The incident happened Sunday night at a house in the 1300 block of West Forest Avenue, and police later arrested the uncle, 66-year-old Stephen B. Eversole, and he's since been charged with domestic battery and reckless discharge of a firearm. He was being held in the Macon County Jail Tuesday in lieu of posting $25,000 bond. If he makes bail, Eversole has been ordered to stay away from his nephew. Sworn police statements claim his dispute with his 30-year-old nephew began when the nephew came home drunk and started getting upset after Eversole's wife, age 62, began talking with him about a personal relationship with the nephews that had ended recently. Stephen said he became extremely angry with his nephew and walked over to him and started yelling at him. Officer Jacqueline Welton said in the statement, Stephen stated the nephew dared him to hit him, so he punched him in the face. Then alleged, Eversole went to his bedroom, retrieved a .40 caliber handgun, and his nephew began fighting with him for the control of the weapon when he came out brandishing it. Stephen said the gun then went off and a round went in the floor, Welton reported. Stephen said the gun then went off a second time toward the bedroom. Stephen stated he didn't know how the gun went off. Welton said she noted splintering in the wood floor from one gunshot wound, but could not locate where the second shot impacted. End of this article by Reed. Another article on a school focusing on STEM. French Academy to focus on STEM. Decatur. It's never too early to explore career paths or to prepare for them, and French Academy will do its part by becoming a school focused on science, technology, engineering, and math, or STEM. During the Decatur School Board's meeting Tuesday, Chief Instructional Officer Ed Moyer gave a report on French's work so far to become a STEM school and a preview of what's coming in the next school year. It's a way of trying to help students understand that this is the way the world works, Moyer said. It isn't divided into neat little packages with answers in the back of the book. Women and minorities are vastly underrepresented in those career paths, he said, and by starting early and providing children with the tools and confidence to pursue interests in STEM, the hope is that more of them will follow those paths in college and career. The economy has moved in the direction of knowledge-based careers, yet more than 4 million high school freshmen in 2001 only 167,000 graduated from colleges in one of those fields. I'm going to reread that paragraph. The economy has moved in the direction of knowledge-based careers, yet of more than 4 million high school freshmen in 2001, only 167,000 graduated from college in one of those fields. French said Principal Julie Fain wants to stand out as a magnet school, and the staff agreed that this was a way to set the school apart and make a difference. The board expressed support for the plan, which has not yet been formally approved. In other business, the board named Michael Dugan to the post of assistant superintendent, replacing Tim Murrell, who resigned effective June 30th. Dugan has served as principal of the Eisenhower High School and joked it seemed only yesterday he was accepting that position. Board President Sherry Perkins said the search is underway for a new principal for Eisenhower. Plans are also underway to expand the Pathways to Prosperity program that was piloted in the spring. High school seniors were placed in area businesses one day a week and excused from class, though not from class work. The program was so successful that the plan is to double the number of students in the coming year and to increase the number of hours they spend on the job, as well as offer high school credit. A broader goal is to work with Grow Decatur, Richland Community College, Milliken University, and Heartland Technical Academy to align curriculum, clubs and activities, and mentoring from area employers to ensure that Decatur students have every chance to explore and prepare for career paths available locally, Superintendent Lisa Taylor said. End of that article. So let me repeat here what the groups were that are working together. Broader goal is to work with Grow Decatur, Richland Community College, Millikan University and Heartland Technical Academy to align curriculum, clubs, and activities, and mentoring from area employers to ensure that Decatur students have every chance to explore and prepare for career paths available locally. End of that article. Next article, headline, man seriously injured in stabbing. Decatur police found a 58-year-old man suffering from multiple life-threatening knife wounds Tuesday on the roadway at the 3300 block of East Fulton Street. According to police, the victim had been in the apartment with a 49-year-old acquaintance at the residence in the 1700 block of South 33rd Street and was stabbed. He attempted to flee and collapsed in the roadway, where he was found by police. He was taken to St. Mary's for treatment. The suspect was arrested at his residence. At headquarters, police said the suspect became combative and battered two officers, but they didn't require medical treatment. The suspect faces charges of attempted murder and aggravated battery to police. He was taken to the Macon County Jail. Next article, Decatur man facing armed robbery charges. Decatur, this is by Tony Reed for the paper. Decatur man faces armed robbery charges after allegedly holding up another man while threatening him with one of the world's most powerful handguns. Sworn police statements said Derek M. Leonard, 35, committed the robbery June 3rd and was caught 3 days later after a foot chase when he fled from police after a traffic stop in the 400 block of West Green Street. Police said they found a Desert Eagle brand 50 caliber gun in the vehicle, the same gun allegedly used in the June 3rd robbery of a 50-year-old man as he walked home in the 300 block of East Center Street. The victim told police he had encountered Leonard earlier that day at a market and had tried to sell the alleged robber some hygiene products, which Leonard had refused. He said Leonard had later pulled up near him in an SUV and beckoned him over before threatening him with a weapon. He advised Leonard, stated, something similar in nature to give me everything, while pointing the handgun at the victim's head. The sworn statement said, out of fear for his life safety, he complied and provided Leonard with his backpack, which contained hygiene products, a cellular phone, and an external speaker for the cellular telephone, and a necklace. Police say the robbery victim later picked Leonard out of a photo lineup and identified him as the man who robbed him. Leonard remained in the Macon County Jail on Monday night in lieu of posting $250,000 bond. He also faces charges of being an armed habitual criminal. End of that article. Herald and Review, staffers earn statewide honors. Decatur, the Herald and Review was recognized for editorial excellence in several categories by the Associated Press and the Illinois Press Association at the annual meeting held in Normal last week. The Illinois Press Association awards include third-place recognition for the Herald and Review for the Paddock Trophy, which is awarded to publications based on how they finish in categories of general excellence, photography, news writing, opinion writing, design, community, and service and editorial page. The Chicago Sun-Times won the Paddock Trophy. The rewards are gratifying and exemplify the extraordinary work that occurs at the Herald and Review, said Gary Sawyer, general manager. Our main goal is to serve our readers, but it's always nice to have good work recognized by our peers. The Herald and Review swept the best sports story category in the IPA contest, with sports writer Justin Kahn winning first and second place awards and sports writer Aaron Dow winning third in honorable mention. Other first place awards in the IPA contest went to the former photographer Danny Damiani for best photo series, staff for newspaper design, and chief photographer Jim Bowling for best photo and personality portrait. More than 100 daily and non-daily newspapers compete in the 36 editorial categories at the annual convention. Managing editor Dave Dawson said he was pleased with the Herald and Review's showing and made special note of the innovation and section honors. The individual awards are terrific, but those that recognize collaborative efforts are especially nice. Credit is due to the editors for their good work in coordinating and planning their selection. Plus, our showing in the IPA sports story category was spectacular. End of that article. Finishing up this, we've got some shorts of things. Barding wins city senior title. Here's Decatur. Holly Barding won her second straight Decatur Women's City Senior Open Championship, shooting a 77 at Scoville on Tuesday to run away with the title. Barding, who also shot a 77 at Scoville last year to clinch the title, finished with a two-day score of 159 to win by four strokes over Jan DeVore. It was the third title overall for Barding, who is tied with Terry Hill after both shot 82 in the first round at Red Tail Run. Hill finished third at 166. Sally Lauer was the net winner with 126. Rolfing Brand earned spots in Tourney Championship Flight. Leland Grove. Effingham St. Anthony graduate Miranda Rolfing and Monticello graduate Evelyn Brand both advanced to match play in the championship flight after Tuesday's qualifying round of the Illinois State Women's Amateur Championship. Rolfing, who will be a junior for the golf team next year at University of Missouri St. Louis, shot an 81 to advance to the championship flight of match play. Today she'll play Naperville's Taylor Aronson, who shot a 75. Brand, who will be a sophomore for Northern Illinois University golf team, shot an 84 and will play Bolingbrook's Jessica Ewan, who shot a 73. Charleston graduate Madison Burgett shot an 86 and will play for the second flight of match play against Godfrey's Natalie Long. In the third flight, Mount Zion graduate Ashley Miller will play 14-year-old Kira Wolf of Mattoon. Both shot 89 in qualifying. Nashville graduate Sean Renegarb, currently a golfer at the University of Arkansas, had the best qualifying round score with a 72. End of that article. And we will be closing off here the part two of the Decatur Herald and Review. This is for June 24th, 2015, Wednesday. This is Debbie saying talk to you again next week.